Yeah, very proud of my daughter, Julia, and very thankful. You know, at the end of Genesis, when Joseph's being reunited with his brothers and he has to excuse himself because he doesn't want his brothers hearing him weep. A new appreciation for that passage. And again, just very, very encouraged and thankful. Some messages are harder to teach than others, and depending on what's going on during the day or the season. And so certainly after hearing Julia, which I think the sermon's been preached, actually. But I'll just give a couple of additional thoughts to what she shared, as well as the other baptism testimonies, which were very powerful. You know, ministry burnout is an epidemic. My guess is that you know someone who's been in ministry and in church leadership in some form or another and got burnt out and had to leave or step down. It happens every day. And it's important for leaders in churches to have good rhythms, not to work 7 days a week, but actually to have at least one day off a week. And we've set some rhythms here at Grace to try to protect burnout among leaders, whether it's our staff or our elders or ministry leaders. And basically, the idea is that when someone's in serving in a ministry after during the seventh year, they should take a break, step down, have a break from that time period, and then reengage if that's what God's called them to. And so we do that among all of our elders. After they serve 6 years, they take the seventh year off. Among various different ministries. And we do it among our staff. Obviously, we don't take a whole year off, but we do take some time. And so last year was my 21st year at Grace. So I've taken a break during the year 7, year 14, and decided not to take a break last year because several people encouraged me to apply for a grant during my sabbatical from the Eli Lilly Foundation in Indianapolis. And so I did that. It's a very in-depth application process, takes about 3 months, several revisions, very detailed, has to be themed. You have to have all your budgets all connected to your theme and so forth. And the theme that I proposed was family connection and family renewal. And most of you know this, but there's maybe 20 to 25 pastors in the state of Indiana that receive the grant a year. Out of maybe 150 plus applications. It's also available for teachers that they can apply for a similar type grant. Well, anyway, I applied. I've known people who've applied who didn't get it. I've known people who've applied and have gotten it, and I got it. And I was just really humbled and thankful last August. I found out that I got it. So I'll be taking that this year. In fact, I'll be leaving here in about 2 weeks, and I'll be taking 3 months away. So from May 10th, to August 15th, I will be gone and won't be around here at Grace Gathering. And as I'm away, I just want to say that we have amazing elders, amazing staff, an amazing teaching team, and amazing leaders across the board at Grace. And Grace will not skip a beat while I'm away over these 3 months. In fact, Grace is going to keep growing. And so let me just tell you what my plan is that I proposed and put all the budget numbers together. Because of this theme of family renewal, I'll be taking multiple trips throughout the 3 months. And I told my four kids that they could go anywhere in the country, a three-day trip, anywhere in the country, and do whatever they want, and I would take them. And so they all mapped out what they'd like to do, and I said, we're going to take a family vacation and so forth. So here are the trips that I'll be taking during the 3 months. The first trip is actually going by myself, to a monastery in Kentucky. And this monastery, I'll be there for 5 days among monks, and it will be silence and solitude for 5 whole days. I'll eat dinner with the monks. No one will say a word. And so during these five days, it'll be a time of prayer, a time of journaling, a time of reading, just interacting with God and just listening to him. Now, for some of you who are extroverts, 5 days of silence and solitude, you would actually kill you. And you would not survive. For those of you introverts, you may think, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Where can I sign up? So that'd be the first trip. And then here are the four trips that my kids all chose on their own, and I'll take each of them. And so my oldest daughter, Mariah, said she wants to go to New York to go to a Broadway play, so I'll take her, and we'll spend 3 or 4 days in New York and doing all the sights in Manhattan and so forth. Julia would like to go to Colorado to go hiking and horseback riding and so forth, so we'll do that. My son, who's 13, wants to go to a PGA course, golf course, so we were going to Pinehurst in North Carolina. We'll spend 4 days golfing every day, so that will be fun. And then my youngest daughter, Farah, wants to go to Disney and to the American Girl store there in Orlando, and so we'll be doing that. And then as a family, we're taking one kind of big family trip. We'll spend 10 days in the Caribbean and on an island called Turks and Caicos. It'll be an all-inclusive island. It'll be absolutely amazing. And then my wife and I will go to Nashville for a few days and just spend a little bit of time together alone. And this grant pays for every single solitary dime. It's absolutely incredible. And I am very, very thankful and humbled that God has shown us favor on our family and is allowing us to do this. And so thanks so much. I know many of you actually prayed when I submitted that application that we would receive it. And we prayed every single day for months, and we did. So really looking forward to it, and I'm really grateful for the time of break. I'm going to actually condense this message even more than I already did. We're at the end of a series. Today we'll actually end our year-long study in the book of Acts. And what I was planning to do is read the entire last chapter as I did during the first service. I'm actually just going to allow you to read that on your own. If you want to listen to it on the podcast, we'll probably podcast the first message, which is a little bit more in depth on this final message. But so I'm not going to read that entire chapter, but I will say this. At the end of Paul's life, he was sent to Rome and he was imprisoned in Rome, but he still had an impact and an influence. And church history bears out that at the end of his life, he was actually beheaded and martyred for his faith. And so the story of the book of Acts is really a story of God's revelation of the third person of the Trinity. And as we've worked our way through this series, and again, we spent 27 messages working our way through the book of Acts over this last year. We've taken a few breaks. But if we look at the Bible as a whole, we see that God reveals himself progressively throughout the scriptures. So in the Old Testament, we have an introduction to God the Father, and we learn about God the Father as we read through the Old Testament. Now, obviously, the triunity is in all throughout the Bible, but there's an emphasis of God the Father throughout the Old Testament. Here's where we learn that God's creator, that he's sovereign, that he's holy, that his character is love, and he's powerful, and he's eternal. And so we learn about his character and his nature as we read throughout the Old Testament on the first person of the Godhead. The second person of the Godhead is formally introduced later in the Bible in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, is revealed at his baptism, and he's formally introduced. And so we begin learning more about who the second person of the Godhead is as we read the four Gospels. So we read things like he's both God and man. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He paid for our sins. He's our friend. He's our example. And we learn many things about who God the Son is by reading the four Gospels. We move down to the book of Acts, and we have for the first time a formal introduction of the third person of the Godhead. And we have that formal introduction in Acts chapter 2. And as we work our way through the book of Acts, we learn more exhaustively and more comprehensively who the third person of the Godhead is. And we start to learn things like God the Holy Spirit is about power and about witness and about conviction. He's an encourager. He's God's voice. He gives us direction. And I took a poll during our series in Acts with regard to the three persons of the Godhead. Which of the three Do you feel like you understand and you know the least? And by far, most people feel as if it's the third person of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, whom they understand the least and whom they know the least. And so it was very appropriate for us to take our time to work through the book of Acts. And as we worked through the book of Acts, we saw in many different ways the role and the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me just say this, when you grow spiritually, you're never the same again. And when you grow in your relationship with God, in whatever various types of ways, it changes you. And I don't know anyone in the room that would say, I would love to be changed by God in two of the three ways, or by two of the three persons of the Godhead. No, if I want to be changed, if I want to pursue God, I want him all. Three out of three. I don't want to miss one of them. And if I lack understanding on who the third person of the Godhead is, then that's the person I want to engage with the most for a season so I can get to know him better. And as we've worked our way through the series, this is what we've learned. We've said that the ministry of the Spirit in the life of the believer brings the following. It brings power, boldness, witness, prayer dependence, encouragement, healing, comfort, conviction, Bible recollection, prophetic words, guidance, visions, dreams, promptings, and access to all the spiritual gifts. And my guess is that if you've been around over the last year and you've worked your way through the book of Acts, you've probably grown in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you probably can pinpoint several of these things on the screen and of which you've grown, and I can do the same. And when you grow, you're never the same again. And because we as a church have grown in our understanding of the third person of the Godhead, we as a church will never be the same again. It's interesting that I've heard stories over this last year as we've been working our way through Acts and been engaging more with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I've been hearing stories of transformation, stories of God encounters in these ways that we've just listed here on the screen. And it's been all the way from the small children to the teenagers to the young adults to the middle-aged and to the senior saints. And you've heard them as well. It's not like it's just been one age group. We've all been engaging in these things together as an extended family, as a larger family. And it's been so encouraging. And as we've been journeying through this as a church, we certainly today talk a lot more about these things than we even did a few years ago. Why is that? It's because we're growing as a church. We certainly talk a lot more about healing, physical healing, than we ever have. Why is that? It's because when we read in the scriptures, we constantly are engaged with stories of physical healing. And we want our lives and our community to mimic what we read in the Bible. And so it's very appropriate that we've grown in physical healing. Or how about praying for people to be healed? Way more people are willing to pray for healing on the spot than ever before. Practicing prophetic words. Paying more attention to God speaking through dreams. And just this overall greater emphasis on the Holy Spirit. One of the things I said during the series is that, look, one of the litmus tests for us in our growth as a church is, do we reflect more of what we read in the Bible than, say, a few years ago, or do we reflect less of what we read in the Bible? As we interact with each other, and as we function together as a church, do we look more like what we read in the Bible, or do we look like less of what we read in the Bible? Or in particular, in the book of Acts, today, do we look more like the book of Acts or less like the book of Acts than maybe two, 3 years ago? I think we look far closer. We aren't there yet by any stretch, but we're far closer. It's encouraging. It's stretching. There are times in which you feel uncomfortable, times in which I feel uncomfortable. Growth causes us to feel uncomfortable at times. Going to places maybe we've never gone before, stepping out in areas that we have fear about, but being willing because we're trying to be led by the Spirit, not just led by our own human effort. The last command that Jesus gave was actually a warning. And here was the warning. He said it at the very beginning of the book of Acts, just before the Holy Spirit was formally introduced in the second chapter. And it's in chapter 1. It says this: on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. He hasn't come yet. You've seen him, you've tasted him, but he hasn't been formally introduced. And he will be formally introduced here in a short time. But wait, don't do the things I've commanded you to do based on your own human effort. Wait. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Spirit, and there will be a difference. Then they gathered around him and asked, well, Lord, at this time, you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel. He said, well, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But here's what will happen. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. And they decided to obey. They decided, we know God's called us to disciple. We know God's called us to heal. We know God's called us to see other people become Christians. We know God's called us to walk in faith and all these things. But we're not going to move forward until we wait. Because we can do it in our own human strength and maybe be a little successful, or we can wait for the power of the Spirit and do things we could never imagine doing. And the only question I want to ask this morning is this: in your own life, are you doing things because of your own human effort, or have you waited and said, I'm not going to move forward in that way that God's called me until I know the Spirit is filling me and I'm depending on him? Maybe it's health related. Maybe it's a broken relationship you're trying to work through. Maybe it's marriage struggles. Maybe it's an emotional pain. Maybe it's a job-related challenge. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe you're trying to disciple a few people. Maybe you're trying to reach out to the people you love with the gospel. Maybe you have some decisions to make about your future. You can go forward and do it in your own human effort, or you can wait and say, I want to be dependent on the Spirit. I want to grow in the power of the Spirit. Do you know the difference? Do we know the difference? And I'd suggest we know a little bit more of the difference today than maybe we did in our past. And we want to grow. And I just want to say, look, I'm growing in these areas, and I want more. I want more of God. I want more of his Spirit. I want more dependence. I want more power. I want less fear. I want less dependence on my own skill and effort. And my guess is that most of you here this morning want more as well. And so I just want to close by saying, if you want more, if you want God, if you want a greater dependence and power of the Spirit in your life, the Bible says you have to ask. And you don't have to ask because God wants to, he's not sure. He already knows your heart. But what we see in Scripture is that there's opportunities for us to actually ask in all kinds of different ways, even using our emotion. Just want to close our time by giving you an opportunity to respond. I want to read one final passage where someone's interacting with Jesus, and he says, I want to hear what you want. And it's found in Mark chapter 10. It says this, beginning at verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm in need." Many rebuked him and told him, "Be quiet. You're too loud. You're too emotional." But he got louder. He wasn't worried about being dignified. Wasn't worried about what other people thought of him. He wanted God. And he wasn't trying to divorce his emotion from his desire. He didn't care. So he shouted all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Here's the question Jesus asked. Now, Jesus already knew, but here's what he asked. "What do you want me to do for you?" And that's the question that I believe he's asking us this morning in the context of whatever areas you're going through as it relates to the power of the Spirit. Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now there are some people today that would like to receive their physical sight. But for those who already have their physical sight, how many here today are saying, "I want to see in a spiritual level things I can't see humanly and on an earthly level? I want to see things in the Spirit and being dependent on the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit and seeing things I never saw before." And Jesus is saying, "What do you want me to do for you? Do you want to see?" And maybe we could sip our coffee and say, "Yeah, that'd be a great idea. I'd love to have more of the Spirit." Or maybe we get down on our face and we cry out to God and we allow our emotions to match our desire. It doesn't have to be in a corporate setting. Maybe it would be. Maybe it's in your own prayer closet. It's like, what do you want? Jesus is asking, "What do you want?" Because he wants to give it to us. He wants to graciously give us all things. And guess what? Third person of the Godhead? Absolutely. Do you want to receive him more? Do you want to be filled more with him? How about asking? And not just asking in a casual way. How about pleading? Or are we too dignified to plead? So let's just pause and let me just allow the Spirit. Everyone's going through different stuff. And we all have similar type callings in some general areas, but we're all also just addressing different areas in our lives. And the Spirit knows exactly what is going on in your life. And you know, or at least you have a glimpse of what it looks like to try to move forward in your own strength versus say, "Okay, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do it in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit." And so let me just allow the Spirit to be speaking to you and for you to listen, because he's always speaking to us. It's just a matter of, are we listening? And if you want more sight from a spiritual perspective, then you tell him, "I want more of you, God the Holy Spirit, and less of me." I'll let you spend just a few moments just praying and just listening.